Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy. We will have a high around the mid-70s. In Kenosha, 66 degrees, 69 in Burlington, 68 Milwaukee at 65 at this hour in Racine. All three men were shot at point-blank range Sunday evening at the Great Lakes Dragway south of Highway KR in Kenosha County were gang members, though Sheriff David Beth won't specifically say this was a gang-related crime.
We've got statements, we've talked to some family members have shown up, and we found that at least the family members that I'm aware of were not cooperative at all with the entire investigation. So it has not helped us. We do believe that the three people that are deceased are members of a gang out of Illinois.
A lot of investigative work yet to be done, according to the sheriff, who's hoping that the social media craze can play a role and then maybe getting a lead toward finding the shooter. But he said this only once, the sheriff labeling the shooting an assassination.
He walked up to the three that are now dead and basically just shot them point blank. He knew what his targets were. He shot two of them. The third one ran around to the side of the tent. He shot him, and then he came back up and fired a few more shots into the two that were laying there. So there are multiple shots here, and he had enough time and enough arrogance to go back up and actually make sure that they were dead.
The suspect description, an African-American male, 20 to 30 years old, with a thin athletic build, shaved hair on the sides, and a scruffy top. Two of the victims, 30 years old, the other 26. Two are from Aurora, Illinois, the other coming from Oswego. Racine police indicate that the person of interest has been taken into custody, referenced the August 6th shooting death of Deshaun Jordan in an alley off 16th Street near Phillips Avenue. This in addition to the arrest of a 17-year-old who was charged last week. The shooting scene drew a crowd of about 150 Sunday night for a prayer vigil. Last night, several people attended the neighborhood watch meeting at the COP house right across the street from that alley, and they were told about that second individual being in custody. In Kenosha, the local branch of the NAACP has scheduled an anti-hate and candlelight vigil at 5:30 this evening at Civic Center Park in the 900 block of 57th Street for the victims of the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia this past weekend. That vigil is being co-sponsored by the group's congregations United to Serve Humanity, Forward Kenosha, Our Wisconsin Revolution, Peace Learning, and the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. At the Walmart store in Mount Pleasant, the retail theft occurred yesterday. It sparked a foot chase through farm fields and backyards, ending with the arrest of a 27-year-old man from Waukegan, accused of stealing from that store as well in the past. Walmart officials contacted Mount Pleasant police after 9:30 yesterday morning, said a man that they believed had taken items from the store earlier in the month had come back. Suspect was walking to his vehicle, according to reports. Several allegedly stolen items in his possession. He apparently spotted police near his car, went back into the store, and then eventually out a fire door at the back of the building. With the help of officers from Racine and the Sturtevant Police Departments, plus the Sheriff's Office, the man was eventually arrested in a wooded area near Old Green Bay Road and Brown Road. He's being held in the county jail awaiting several charges. Meanwhile, in Racine Circuit Court, a woman from Summers is facing charges. She's accused of stealing $12,000 from her employer, the McDonald's restaurant on Green Bay Road in Racine, over a four-month period. 35-year-old Cynthia Williams in court, accused of fraudulent writings and theft in a business setting. Court documents indicate she was the manager of the restaurant and allegedly pocketed cash while preparing the nightly deposits. Williams also allegedly admitted to falsifying returns, claimed that she believed she had only taken about $1,000 to pay for expenses. A preliminary hearing has been scheduled for later this month. Well, it was a devastating fire yesterday morning in Kenosha. The city's Parks Department now scrambling to figure out how do they do the work that needs to be done. That fire apparently began as the result of some type of an electrical malfunction. It virtually destroyed the contents of half of the department's field office near 39th Avenue and 65th Street. Four trucks destroyed, some lawnmowers, a variety of hand tools. That according to Parks Superintendent Jeff Warnock.
The heat was, unbelievable. The flames were up in the loft area about just underneath the roof line. But the heat inside there, it melted quite a bit of equipment.
The firewall, though, prevented the flames from spreading to an office area. A dollar estimate on the damage has not been made, but it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. Firefighters from even neighboring communities on the scene to help Kenosha fire crews with that response. Tonight, the Racine Common Council meets at 7 o'clock on the second floor at City Hall. The start to the agenda has a number of communications being introduced and then sent off to committee. Those include Alderman John Tate II's request going to the Public Works Committee, on which he is a member, for a comprehensive review and possible modification of the policy on streetlight removal and replacement. And Alderman Tracy Lahren's request that the city enact an anti-bullying ordinance, a committee of the whole discussion, scheduled for that later on. In Summers, the Village Board has a 5:30 p.m. work session at the Village Hall. On that agenda, the fire chief and a proposed paramedic program, a new law enforcement contract, and possible reimbursement for flood victims and drainage problems in the Summers Estates and Green Meadows subdivisions. The Racine Redevelopment Authority is going to be working with the Center for Community Progress through a consulting contract to tackle a couple of programs the city is looking to implement.
Number one, a land bank program, which would help us obtain long-term tax foreclosed properties and turn them back into productive tax-paying properties. And number two, strategic code enforcement program to address issues of neighborhood blight and disinvestment. You may be asking, why would we be going to the Center for Community Progress? Well, really, they're the only national nonprofit organization that is consulting with communities on issues of systemic blight and finding solutions for vacant, abandoned, and problem properties.
City Development Director Amy Conley telling RDA members the goal is to work with all the city's community partners, and in her words, we think they are the best group to help us do that while getting the properties back onto the tax base. The process of finding a new administrator for the Village of Mount Pleasant goes on, but in the meantime, there may be a new interim administrator coming on board. The Village Board had a closed session last night. For more than an hour, they talked, then they reconvened. Afterward, Board President Dave DeGroot said the discussion would continue Wednesday night. Police Chief Tim Zarzecki has been the interim administrator since Kurt Wallen was dismissed more than a year ago. The Mount Pleasant Board also scheduled to vote last night on an appointment to the vacant trustee position. Now, you know how that has gone lately. DeGroot again nominating Ram Bhatia, whose appointment lost on a 3-3 tie vote at the last meeting. DeGroot withdrew the nomination after trustee Kenneth Twaska said that even though he thought Bhatia would make a good trustee, he now wants to wait until after a new village administrator gets hired. Of course, in Madison, the Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy did approve the Foxconn incentive package, which sends it on to the full Assembly on a party-line vote for a vote on Thursday. It was broadcast live on Wisconsin Eye, and during that discussion, more than 20 amendments that were offered by Democrats got rejected. One of those Democrats, Kenosha Representative Todd Onstead, said he was disappointed.
However, refusing to entertain a single amendment here today leads me to believe that there may not really be any interest in this being a bipartisan vote. Far too many questions have been raised about whether or not this project is good for taxpayers, a good deal for Wisconsin workers and contractors, and safe for our environment for me to vote yes today.
He said he would like to see the legislature, in his words, take a deep breath and slow down the process by entering into further discussions to come up with the best deal possible for Wisconsin. And you've probably heard that CNN's going to be hosting a town hall meeting in Racine that'll feature Congressman Paul Ryan. It's to be next Monday evening. It will be at the Racine Theater Guild site. CNN's going to be in charge of attendance for this event. Take note of that. You will not be able to just walk right in. The release adding the network is inviting people of Ryan's district to fill the audience, and a request for tickets that is posted on CNN with their website, so you check that out. The town hall will be broadcast live that evening. Of course, the congressman's been criticized for not holding public town hall meetings in more than 2 years. Instead, private meetings as well as conference calls on the phone. WRJN.com, that's our webpage, and that's where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. Throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.